Welcome back. Let's talk to our dear friend, Mr. Derek, senior market commentator at Panmure Gordon. Morning to you, young David.
Morning to you, gentlemen.
We've got Craig and Zach here. Right, I'm going to kick off. I do read all sorts of newspapers at the weekend to make sure I get a balanced view, and I was delighted to see you in the Sun newspaper. Okay, shares soared by 35 billion yesterday following the Tory victory. Pundit David Buick said it's a relief there will be no Millie bashing of business. Politics. How did we all get it so wrong?
Well, I think we got it so wrong for the simple reason that it's like I did some campaigning in Brentford. And what was interesting was I said to the Tory people there, why are there no stickers in the window? And they just looked at me and said, we don't like bricks. And I think there was an enormous fear campaign out there. And I think a lot of people who were going to vote Tory kept their counsel to themselves.
Right.
And that, together with obviously the SNP surge, which we knew was going to be pretty devastating, but not at those levels, and the total collapse of the Liberal Democrat. I actually say, I'd like to say that, I mean, I found them deeply irritating when in coalition, but I have a huge respect, fun enough, for Nick Clegg, who I thought is a decent and honourable person, and though I have no political empathy with him whatsoever, he put country before party.
He should have joined the Tory party, basically.
Probably.
He would have been better than Cameron as a Tory leader.
Probably. But I just feel, I feel for him as an individual very sorry. But the trouble is, when you try and stride the fence, Moose, and be all things to all people, you come unstuck.
See, yeah. I thought his resignation speech was, I really enjoyed this, not so much Miliband, but the resignation speeches of Clegg and of Farage, because it's interesting when he talked about old-fashioned liberalism, and it's the first time you heard real political convictions and real kind of political ideologies. You
know, couldn't agree more.
He made a robust defence of kind of classic liberalism, in the same way that Jim Murphy did of socialism.
Problems.
But the difference is that Ed Miliband did not make any kind of ideological argument for socialism. He made an argument for Ed Miliband, and that was the main contrast.
Well, I think the thing that struck me, and most people would say that I'm not the most objective person in the world, and I have to take that as criticism, is I think Ed Miliband and Ed Balls frightened the electorate. And unless you have a camp that says, listen, to all comers, rich and poor, welcome. All we're trying to do is to get some social justice around here, rather than you guys who have left wanting, and you have been left seriously wanting, and I don't think anybody would argue with that most at all, but anybody earns more than, you know, a few quid, we're going to hammer you.
That's the flaw of socialism. It hates or does dislikes people who are rich or successful. So there's a fatal flaw
Craig and I tried to answer the question why we thought, you know, the election went the way it did, and those are our reasons. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to part two, stock markets, rising bond yields, markets, DAX is starting to pull back. We're talking about euro strength, OK? Well, what's your take sitting in at Panmure Gordon with...
Well, we'll let Craig do the intellectual input, because mine is really very much what you see is what you get. That relief was a relief rally on Friday. Nothing more, nothing less. Just look where it was. Property, bookmakers, utilities, energy, all the banking, all the sectors that were likely to get clattered by Labour if they'd got in. They didn't. Massive revolution. What was the reason for putting up Barclays 3.9%? Give me a reason for putting up Centrica by 7%, Savills by 10%, Foxton's by 9%. Some ludicrous rallies.
Yeah, but that was there because of the alternative. Until the 24 hours before, or the previous evening, we were looking at a very likely Labour S&P victory.
So I know what you're going to say.
People who went short, but basically the problem was people probably went short with your mentality that you know, this is just you know, whoever wins, it's going to be a difficult or going to be a disaster, and they got stopped out on Friday, and now the market goes down. So it's a classic market.
Absolutely right, Zach. The only thing I would add for it, because we must let Craig in here, is that had Labour got in, we'd be at 6,700 with your theory on the bond market.
6,700.
I was only going to say that the kind of behaviour through the back end of last week and the beginning of this week is a kind of illustration of that classic fallacy that the stock market has got anything to do with the British economy, which it doesn't, you know, and there's no fundamental play there at all. It's mostly emotional plays rather than anything.
Emotional play. Talking of emotions, I'm bored with this subject, Greece.
Well, go ahead, Craig, because I'm so bored with it. It's not.
Yeah, it's so difficult. It's hard to say something that's not been said before. The same headlines that we've seen again and again and again. They are making some headway, but they are not getting anywhere near close to having any cancellation.
Isn't the referendum idea a good one? That was being
brought up. Well, if there's a referendum,
that would shut everything up or finish everything.
Well, no, you're just prolonging the agony. The fact remains is, I don't care what anybody says to me. So he repaid 750 million euros to the IMF yesterday. Whoopee. So he's going to repay another 2 billion or whatever it is to somebody next week and 7.5 billion the week after. The fact remains they're broke. The fact remains they owe 214 billion euros. They've got 11 million people doing very, very little.
Well, they've always had that. But the only issue here is, in fact, 240 billion euros is not a lot of money. They could write a check. They spent 1.1 trillion on the QE, so they could just write them a check and, you know, finish all this problem right now. The interest rates are low as well.
I thought it was quite interesting, the kind of de facto seniority of debt, the fact that the IMF always comes first in the queue. You know, they will annoy anybody else, but when it comes to the IMF, they are always senior. And
you make a valid point, but what I'm just saying is that I think that as the day goes by, the European Union, the ECB, the IMF and Greece are losing credibility. And it's just actually irritating because it's frightening everybody unnecessarily. Look at the bond market reaction is because we've got uncertainty and nobody is prepared to say, excuse me, I'm in charge. This is what's happening.
FTSE 100.
What about it?
Are we at the right level?
As long as the dollar remains firm, the correction this morning comes as no surprise to me, and if it came off another 200-300 points, it wouldn't come as any surprise to me either. But with the FTSE, with the dollar as strong as it is now, and with 70% of our earnings coming from mainly from dollars and a little bit from euros, I can live with it.
You're comfortable?
Yeah. Wonderful. I don't see why not, unless, of course, we have a serious shakeout in the United States and we suddenly find that the US economy is not as robust as we think it probably was. And I think we were encouraged by the non-farm payroll.
Yeah, well, that came bang in line, didn't it?
Yep. So.
Right, let's wrap up. Any final thoughts for the Tip TV crowd?
Be of good cheer. What I think will come as a result of this election win is certainty. And with that will be some IPOs and some mergers and acquisitions which were dusted off, put on the shelf. People zipped up their pockets, didn't really want to invest seriously in small businesses until they knew what the outcome was. Unless something goes horribly wrong, bring it on.
OK, David Buick, senior market commentator, Pamela Gordon, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Well done, boys. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Right, let's take a quick break. We've got a pre-record with Bob Amico, head US trader at Global Trade Room. Then we've got Wilson Lung, director at Trendsetter FX. And then we've got our hedge fund man, Simon Wessenberg, the CEO of K1T Capital. Is he still the bear that he's been since he's come on Tip TV a year ago? We'll be straight back after the break. Thank you.